Good morning. My name is Carnesia, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the CanCare 2.0 implementation conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Bobby Griffey Hendrickson. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you very much. This is Bobby Graff Hendrickson. I appreciate everyone who joined the call this morning. Just wanted to remind folks that we are continuing these calls through the month of March, and at that time we will evaluate if the call should continue and be scheduled at further out at that time. Also, all of our recording and transcripts for these calls are on the CanCare website, as is our managed care organization's customer service line. Another item I'd like to remind all of our persons about is that our open enrollment period for CanCare will continue through April the 3rd. At this time, we have updates to be provided by First Data. That will be Ms. Candace Cobb. Then we will go with Aetna, Sunflower, and UnitedHealthcare, which are our managed care organizations. Candace, would you like to provide an update for us this morning, please?
Certainly. Thank you very much, Bobby. Good morning. This is Candace Cobb with First Data. I just want to let everyone know that at this point, our call tracker is not registering calls about missing authorizations during this transition period from one MCO to the other three. So if you do have a missing authorization, I would like you to call the help desk, because those issues that come to our help desk are issued a ticket for escalation, and that way we can track that for you and be more knowledgeable if you have to contact us again. But once issues are escalated, we do track those very carefully. Calling our help desk is easy. It's 1-800-441-4667, and you'll wait to push the option code for Kansas. So, again, 1-800-441-4667. If you would like to email and provide screenshots of anything for our help desk, please do email AuthentiCare, all one word, support@firstdata.com. So again, that's authenticare.support@firstdata.com. And you're always welcome to email me at candace@firstdata.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Candace. I'd like to turn it now over to our managed care organization. Aetna, Keith Whitson, would you please like to begin, please?
Hello. Just a quick update from Aetna. There's nothing formal to announce this week. Just a reminder that providers can reach out to us directly any day of the week. Specific examples of your issues or concerns are extremely helpful for us to quickly determine any root causes and help you resolve the issues. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Sunflower, please.
Hi, this is Doug Kleitz with Sunflower. Nothing new to report, but I do want to share that we do have a dedicated phone line for HCBS authorization issues that they can reach out directly to. We have put that out there in the past, but I'll go ahead and give the phone number. It is 877-644-4623, extension 44329. In addition, we do have an email address to that department, and it is hcbsauthorizations@sunflowerhealthplan.com. So if you're having more than five issues, auth-related issues, you can email them into that email address, and we'll assist and get back to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug. United.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning. This is Carrie Kimes, and similar to Doug, we are kind of working in steady state, not seeing any any items or issues outside what we would normally see day over day. So I feel like things are going well. I did want to just make one mention that the all MCO training is scheduled to occur end of April into the 1st of May. We have three sessions, one in Hayes, one in Wichita, and one in Olathe. Those dates and the registration is now available for providers on the KMAP website under the workshop schedule. It allows you to look at the dates and register for the different sessions. We're doing it pretty similarly to how we've done it in the past, where there will be a general session where all three MCOs share information about claims billing and eligibility and things like that, and then each MCO will have a session specifically to talk about MCO items and answer MCO questions. So if you have not seen that yet, it just came up yesterday or the day before, and there should be a bulletin coming out with the invitation. But those would tend to be very popular, and our seats fill up. So we encourage you guys, if you're interested, to please register and join us. And that's all I have today.
Thank you, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Operator, we're now ready for questions, please.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We have a question from Lori Walter.
Hi, this is Lori Walter from OCCK, and this is an HCBS question. Can each MCO please tell us the formula they use to calculate PCS monthly units?
Okay. Aetna?
This is Alan Schaefer with Aetna. We use 4.5 as the multiplier. Now, we did not have that in place to begin with because of some things we were not aware of. The Authenticare system divvied up units between months, so we had to make that change sometime in January, I believe it was completed.
Thank you very much, Alan. Sunflower.
This is Doug Kleiss. Alana, are you on the call today?
I am.
I'm going to do phone a friend.
Okay. I believe we use around the 4.5 also, but I also know that they will calculate if members have specific days, that they need specific hours.
Okay. United?
I'll have to get that. I don't know what the formula is right off the top of my head, so we'll get that from our team that actually builds the auths and put it in the notes for the meeting.
Okay, so Ms. Walter, I believe we heard from Aetna it's 4.5. Sunflower said 4.5 as a multiplier, but they also had some other information. It was kind of difficult to hear the person speaking because she's driving. And United needs to provide us with that information. So what we'll do is that we will take this as a follow-up item for Sunflower and United to provide that information on our call next week so that you'll get a solid, clear answer. Thank you for your question. We're ready for the next one, please.
Your next question is from Jeanette Livingston.
Hi, this is Jeanette Livingston with the Sedgwick County CDDO. I had a question for Aetna.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay, want to make sure you can hear me. Part of the crisis access process for the IDD waiver is that case managers have to confirm with the managed care companies that they don't have any value-added services or services that could alleviate the potential crisis. And each of the MCOs kind of had their own process about how they wanted that ran. Does Aetna have a preference? I mean, right now the case managers are asking the care coordinators, and I don't know if they really understand what we're what we're asking. Some of the MCOs, you know, there's one person that you call and they do an assessment. With Aetna being new and the care coordinators not necessarily knowing, you know, folks that are on the wait list, did you have a process, that you, a way you'd like us to do this?
Research it. Hi, this is again, this is Alan Schaefer. I, right off the top, I do not know what the specific process is in place, but I will get with the case management folks and our IDD lead individual, and we'll come back with an answer next week, or how do we want to do
well,
that?
Well, we can contact, we can contact you directly.
May we have your phone number, Ms. Livingston, please?
My number is 316-660-7635.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Your next question. I'm sorry,
yes,
your
please.
Next question is from Stacey Burnett.
Hi, my question is for Aetna. 2 weeks ago on this call that you said that you would be taking off the prior authorization for tubules, and I'm just wondering when that's going to occur, if we have any timeline.
Yeah, so we shared that we would go through our normal process to update prior authorizations, which includes the committee approval. And documentation and approval or revision with the state. So, yeah, that process is not complete, but we also have posted on the log that the state has, that KDHE houses on, that we will do, if you submit the consent form with your claim, it should pay now based on the process we put in place. And anything that has not paid and got denied and you have a consent form, there are specific instructions on how to file a claim reconsideration, and we will reprocess those claims.
Okay, so that the specific instructions are out on the log?
Yes.
I don't know.
Right.
We're waiting on our provider bulletin to be approved by KDHE.
Okay.
And could we go ahead and get your name and what practice you're with again?
Yes, it's Stacey Barrett, and I'm with Lincoln Center OBGYN. And I've got a few that I need to send back in for reconsideration.
Okay.
So
could I get your phone number, and somebody from Provider Experience will give you a call to tell you exactly what we need in the boxes on the 1500 for the claim?
Perfect. My number is 785-231-0617. Thank you.
And we'll get somebody, get you a call and tell you exactly what to do to get those claims reprocessed.
Your next question is from Shirley Gamble.
Good morning. This call, or this questions are for Aetna. And I haven't been on the last few calls because I've been out of the office, so forgive me if I am just behind. I am an RHC, rural health clinic, and we are continuing to have claims processed incorrectly, not with our encounter rate. I understand that this issue is now known to Aetna and that you are working on it. Do you have a status for us on that?
Stacey, this is Kim Glenn with Aetna, and we are hopeful that this will get completed here in the next few weeks. We're going back and double-checking everybody's rates, and I will look to see where your particular RHC is in that process and whether that has been updated, and we can give you a call back today.
Okay, and I have two RHCs. Lyons Medical Center and Sterling Medical Center.
Right.
And
okay. Go ahead.
So my understanding from my billing company is not that the wrong rate is being paid as far as a different RHC rate. their claims are not paying as an RHC encounter rate, period. They're
correct.
Paying fee for service.
Correct. And that's what we're getting. And I just need to see where we're at in the process of updating to your encounter rate.
Okay. So this has been going on from the beginning, and so we do need to have some of that, because there's significant differences in fee-for-service payment versus provider-based RHCs in many cases. So as much help you can give us would be appreciated on that. What about an update on status of the contracting and credentialing for providers? Are you still working on that, or is everything that you have in-house have been addressed?
So credentialing providers, we're meeting our timeframes on credentialing providers. Oftentimes, providers held up in credentialing are really not, it's not credentialing that's holding it up, it's having the complete set of information. So we certainly can work with them directly to make sure that we have every piece of data that's needed to complete the credentialing process.
Okay, so for about 2 months now, I've had issues getting website access for all of my providers. I finally, with the help of a provider experience rep, was able to get one of my providers and have access to that provider, but the other 10 are not on there. Kind of been working back and forth, but not making much progress. So I'm going to call that provider person back again today and hope to get more movement. So I was wondering if it's a credentialing issue that was taking place, although they're saying they can see all of my providers in their system.
Credentialing would not prevent you from access to the portal, as far as I understand. But we, who are you working with on our team?
Jesse Cruz.
Pardon me?
Jesse Cruz.
Okay. Continue to work with her, and we'll be working with her as well to make sure you have what you need.
Okay, and then previously I had asked if there would be an opportunity for you guys to include the gaps of care information on your website for the patients so that we know what gaps of care you are showing that they need to be closed. That's something that the other MCOs have on their websites, and you were going to do some research on it. And I apologize if you've already reported back on this, but
no, that's okay, Shirley. As a new MCO, we do not have a lot of claims data within our warehouse yet to be able to start to run those gaps of care reports. We'll probably be able to start to have some of that information as we're going into second quarter of this year, and we're just kind of following up as we've really got to get the claims data in there for our quality team to start to run those reports. So we will keep you updated on where we're at there.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And one last question, kind of a follow-up on Stacy's question on the prior auths for the tubules. My understanding is since it's been determined that this is no longer going to be needed, the consent form being submitted with the claim is all we need at this point.
That is
moving
correct.
Forward. Okay.
That is correct. And just a friendly reminder for the providers on the call, there is a new KDHE consent form that will go into effect as of tomorrow that you can pull down from the KMEP website.
Thank you. That's all my questions at this point.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Barb Zimmerman.
Yes, I have a question for Aetna. Yesterday we received our first copy of an ISP, and the only signature that was on there at that time was that of the care coordinator, and generally when we receive those, the family has already signed, and then we sign after that. So I'm just wondering your process in sending out your ISPs. Second of all, when we do sign them, where specifically would you like us to send those back? What specific email address do you want us to send those to? And where specifically on your ISP would we be able to find if there's an exception for billing over 12 hours or a capable person exception or any additional information that we would need to know?
This is Alan Schaefer. We'll need to get your phone number so we can get back to you and walk through all that.
Okay, the number is 913-322-7212.
Okay. And who are you with again, and where is it located?
Helpers, Inc.
What was the Helpers.
Helpers, Inc.
Helpers, oh, okay. Are you down in Wichita?
No,
we're in Olathe.
Olathe, okay. All right, we'll get someone to get in contact with you to talk to, because we'll want to know the specific member and sort of look back at what the issue might have been.
All right, thank you.
At this time, there are no questions.
Still no other questions, operator?
At this time, there are no questions. Would you like for me to re-prompt the participants?
Yes, please.
Okay. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then a number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star then a number one on your telephone keypad. And you have a question from Brooke Boomstead.
Hi, this is Brooke Boomstead with Girard Medical Center for Aetna. Just wondering about welcome packets.
Brooke, this is Kim Glenn with Aetna, and we are in the process of getting our welcome packets out. We've been doing those over the past few weeks. We are on track that they will be done by the end of this week. If you've not received yours, I will, if you'll give us your telephone number, we'll look at whether that has been, if it's part of the last group that needs to go out, and we'll follow up with you.
Yep. It's 620-724-5153.
Okay, thank you. We'll take a look at that and go from there.
And the provider name?
Girard.
Girard.
Yes.
We have a question from Tish Hollingsworth.
Good morning, and actually not a question, but just a comment that I appreciate everybody's efforts in trying to make these calls continue on. I think it's been very helpful not only for the provider community, but us in the associations to hear if there's issues and concerns going on in the field. So I know it takes a lot of time on everybody's parts, but hopefully this has been helpful to make the transition smooth. So appreciate the ongoing efforts, everybody.
Thank you, Tish.
We have a question from Patty Halsick.
Hi. Yes, my question is for Aetna. Last week we had a conference call. On the call, somebody had asked about the monthly obligations not being withheld. How is that going to be handled?
Ms. Halsik, this is Bobby Graf Hendrickson. Could you please tell us what organization you're with, please?
We're with Rosewood Services in Great Bend.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And I had one other question as well. Do we have a, is there an access to the provider rep that we need to contact if we have other questions? Because I guess I haven't been able to find that yet.
Hi, this is Mike McClure, and the provider rep list is out on our website. And
okay,
I will make sure that your particular provider rep reaches out to you today if you can provide me your phone number.
Yes, my phone number is 620-793-5888.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Patty, this is Kim Glenn. When Mike reaches out, any claims examples that you have related to client liability, just give him a couple of those because we've been having to work those kind of provider specific.
Okay, and that's kind of what I was inquiring about, but I just wanted to make sure if there was going to be a resolution for it in the future billing that we're going to get going on now.
Okay, and we will be able to finish researching that and let you know. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And that's all I had.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no questions.
Operator, since there are no more questions, we will conclude this call. I'd like to remind everyone that our calls will continue. Our next scheduled call is on Thursday, March 7th. And as a reminder, as stated at the beginning of the call, all of these calls are recorded and are available on our CanCare website, as are the transcripts of the call. The state staff certainly appreciate all of our providers and our managed care organizations that call in and participate as we move forward to a successful implementation of CanCare. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.